So this is in the Holy Letters of the Rebbe, Volume 4. This is letter number 1189. Baruch Hashem, this is dated on the 12th day of Elul, Tavshin Yud Aleph. The Rebbe is addressing him with great titles, or Rav HaGoyim, the great genius, etc., etc., with titles, Asher Sheyichya, or Asher, in the last name they put in the bottom, his name was Abramson. And the Rebbe says, peace and blessing. In response to the notice that on the 8th day of Elul, their child, Mordechai Zev ben Rezel, the son of Chaim Shner Zalman Gutnik, that he turned 3 years old. Okay? So I am expressing my blessings that he should be raised by his parents for Torah, Chuppah, and Ma'asim Tovim in a plentiful way. This is the language my father-in-law used to use when he would write about a haircut that takes place at the age of 3 years old. This is quoting from his father-in-law, as far as cutting the haircut of sharness, this is a very great matter in the custom of the Jewish people. The main idea is leaving the payas of the head. From the time that we do the haircut and you leave the payas of the head, we are accustomed to be very careful to train the child to carry, wear a talus katan, to say the morning prayer, to say the after blessing, the grace after meal, do the Shema before going to sleep. May God be in your help to raise him Torah Chub Ma'asim Tovim with a plentiful sustenance, relaxed mind, both physically and spiritually, signing with a Ksiv HaTiv HaTiv Shana Tovim Mesukah, that's the Rebbe. Now, the Rebbe says this, that, by the way, this is, these people are the famous Gutnik family that the Rebbe is finding. This is, this was Mutl Gutnik. So, the Rebbe says that he asked the Rebbe a question whether they can really fulfill in his country, this is in Australia, whether they can fulfill properly the mitzvah of the four species. Why? Because the government decreed that any fruit that comes to Australia without a certificate, a health certificate, they immediately take it away. But the person in charge over there, he on his own, he conducts himself, he doesn't look, he gives it to the people for the days of the Yom Tov, so that after Yom Tov they burn it. So he lets them use it for the Yom Tov time while they're, he makes a deal with them. The guy in charge over there, maybe they bribed him or whatever, but he lets them use the esrogim for Sukkos. After Sukkos, they give it back to him, and he burns it. So the question is, that this is what they do it. But he says that since, because of the, what is his question? Since, because of the decree of the government, this fruit is prohibited to be eaten, and you must destroy it from the world. And it's only because the attendant over there, the officer, he goes beyond the letter of the law. So maybe there is no, maybe it's not considered any value, any real monetary value. And maybe you're not allowed to eat this, there's no benefiting from it. So how could we fulfill the mitzvah? So the Rebbe says, I don't have the time now to look into it, but I don't have, in my opinion, there's no really anything to worry about it, and I'm going to mention only two reasons. Number one, the Isser is not on the Esrog. The Isser is on the place. Say, for example, the Rebbe says, example, are you permitted to make a bracha on an esrog in the Beit HaMikdash? Why? because over there you're not allowed to eat chulin. So that it seems from the simple language of the Mishnah that they would make the bracha and the esrog of the lulav also in the Mishkan. And the reason is because it's not that the esrog is prohibited in eating. It's in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to eat chulin. So the same thing, chulin means not consecrated. Similar to that is in our case. It's not that the esrog needs to be burned. But in Australia, you're not allowed to hold fruit from Chutz La'aretz without a certificate. But it's not that the fruit in the esrog, that's one. Number two, the Rebbe says, it's clear that there is a monetary issue here for many matters. And one of them would be, if the owner of the esrog wants to go outside of Australia, so they are not going to interfere with him taking the esrog with him. So the same thing is with the matter of being allowed to eat it. If as soon as you bring the esrog into the country, a person is going to want to destroy it by eating the esrog, it seems clearly they will permit him. If he's going to take his own responsibility for his health, he's going to eat it. So the Rebbe basically says that it's not a problem. I've heard from similar cases. It's interesting. I have a nephew who's in Caracas, Venezuela. And he tells me also there's a very similar problems that he has with the esrogim over there. And they always have to, or did I hear it about Morocco? I forget where. But that they have to bribe sort of the people in order to get their esrogim, because for various health reasons or other reasons, they don't allow that. And but I guess this is the Rebbe's answer. And I see the Rebbe says, I don't have to look into this matter at length, but these are just some of the reasons. The Rebbe says very clearly that it's okay, it's not a problem.